A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Runner's World podcast with me, Rick Pearson.
And me, Ben Hobson.
And me, Jane Maguire.
Today, we're talking about harassment on the run. Quick update on our own running journeys first. Jane, how's it going? Are you recovering from a knee injury?
Yeah, I'm good. I did a normal kind of normal-ish week last week. Still, I split the long run yesterday. I thought purely because of time, I couldn't be bothered to go and run 9 miles. So I did a 5 and a 4. And I think it's my new thing. I think I'm all about the double day. I loved
it. That's cool. How long did you leave it in between the runs?
One in the morning and one just before it got dark in the evening. Because as we'll go on to talk about, I'm not running in the dark at the moment. But yeah, it was. And actually, the later run was quicker. So I'm like, maybe this is my thing. Maybe I won't give up kind of an hour and a half, 2 hours of my morning on a Sunday. Maybe I'll do 2 shorter runs. I don't know, maybe it's
still the same amount of miles, isn't it?
Yeah, still the same amount of miles, but yeah, I'm back. I'm really enjoying running at the moment. I think, like a lot of people, the news was a lot last week, and running has been a good way to kind of take my mind off things, laugh at a podcast, listen to some music, think about all the good things, and not try and have a break from Instagram and the constant kind of news, I guess.
Rick, what about you?
Right, so I did actually. I almost ran a marathon. So this
oh.
Was,
oh god,
no, because I had you guys' voices in my ear, and you were like, don't run, and I was like, right, because this 50-mile thing's happening, right? So I was like, I've got to run at least half the distance before getting on the start line. Otherwise, who knows what could happen? Do you know what I mean? So I convinced my best mate. In fairness, is actually also doing the race, so he shouldn't need convincing.
Right.
But we did it together. We actually did 25 and a half miles, and I reckon there's a lot of listeners.
What?
Who'll be like, no, come on, you should have run
Rick,
an extra
what?
Half a mile.
So many people who...
Because I was just at home at that point. I was like, that's fine, isn't it? 25 was the thing.
There are so many runners who will have commented on our Instagram post whenever we've put up something saying, oh, do you ever round up your run to extra whatever miles by doing loops around your garden? And everyone is like, yeah, of course. I mean, obviously. Only a mad person would stop halfway through a mile or something like that. And here we have Rick Pearson.
Hey, it's a training run. It's not the event, right?
It's true. It's true.
It's not the event.
And how did it go? What shoes did you wear? How was your nutrition?
I was wearing the Salomon Ultra 3, I think, the S-Lab one, the kind of purple ones.
Okay.
They're all right. I'm not mad about them, if I'm honest. Like, I really like their predecessor, so I'm kind of persisting with them, but I'm not mad about them. On the Morton again, which was good. No crazy nutrition. Like, I guess I had a packet of crisps. It's quite a weird look as a runner. You know, like, cause you're sort of looking like you're into health, aren't you, like, in the parks. And if you're just jogging along, having a packet of crisps.
What crisps?
It really jars with people.
Yeah,
sort of.
I don't care about any of this, Rick. I want to know flavours.
Monster Munch, Hula Hoop.
No, it was just a McCoy's, salted McCoy's.
I guess salted because you thought salt and, sweating and stuff, right?
Here's my thinking, right? You want something that's salty, right? We all know that when you're running. Like, you can't just have to be... And I was like, I could go down the peanut route, but they're a nightmare to eat, aren't they? They're like
choking hazard. Choking hazard.
All that. So just get a packet of crisps. That's what I say.
Peanuts. I was thinking like a peanut butter sachet, but you mean actual peanuts, don't you?
Like a bag of cake peanuts.
No. So I'm just...
like
just
you're
a packet
on a plane.
Of crisps.
Like you're in a pub.
Morton and a packet of crisps. What more do you want? Come on.
Pint and some pork scratchings, please.
This is the Runner's World podcast.
So we're going to come on to talking to Kate Carter and Chess Minato about this, but we'll kind of start by talking about our harassment survey, which we've done in partnership with women's health. And I think the general conclusions, to kind of give you a bit of a sense of where this has come from, obviously what we're talking about is we in 2017 we did a survey on female harassment when running, and we've revisited that in 2021, and I think the results are pretty similar, unfortunately. 60% of women have said they've been harassed while running, 40% of men reported harassment. But I think perhaps more shockingly is that only 13% of women have never feared for their safety when they're out on a run. Just under a third of women now avoid a place they used to run because of safety concerns, and only 4% of the harassment reported came from other runners. We are talking about people in cars, people in vans. This is a topic at the forefront of a lot of people's minds right now. So I think it seems like a good time to touch on the survey, which we'll come back to in the future, but to kind of dwell on this a bit further. The shocking abduction and murder of Sarah Everard has prompted countless women to speak of their own experiences of being harassed or assaulted. This week, we want to speak with some female runners about their experience of harassment on the run, the kind of considerations they feel forced to make, and what more can and should be done to make women feel safer on the move. We're talking to running journalist Kate Carter and acting digital editor of Women's Health, Chess Minato. So let's start with you, Kate. What have you ever experienced any sort of harassment on the run?
Yeah, unfortunately, definitely in the majority, sadly, of people who has. I mean, you know, I'm lucky that it's nothing more has happened to me than words and a feeling of, you know, I felt unsafe and not happy and not at ease and done things to change my route and so on. But yeah, I mean, it's funny, isn't it? We're talking a lot about harassment and it's like we're finally getting to define what harassment is. Because, you know, it's so often it's some guy going, all right, loves, give us a smile or whatever. And then you don't smile and I'm allowed to swear, and he calls you a bitch. And, you know, and he's like, in his head, probably that he's forgotten that ever happened. To me, that's harassment. And to every woman who that happens to on a run over and over again, she might not go for a run again. You know, she might not want to go out. She might remember that. And that's sort of ruined her pastime for her. So even the things that aren't, you know, that are just every day, shouldn't be.
What about you, Chess? Have you had a similar?
Yeah, so I would also count myself in the kind of, I don't know, the luckier side of things, in that quite low level. It's hard to define these things and what, you know, but I think the main thing I find is with vehicles, men in vehicles. And I think there's an element of, you know, they feel removed from you as a person because they're in a car or a van or whatever. But it doesn't feel removed as the recipient. So, yeah, I think that's more, yeah, it's a very regular occurrence to get some kind of interaction with someone in a car or a van, in different levels of kind of like threat feeling. So sometimes it's just catcalling or that kind of thing, and then sometimes it's like the car sort of slows down and drives on with you. That's I really hate that.
Yeah, I think spoke about it recently on the podcast that we did a survey, and I think it was 2017, and it about female harassment, and I remember reading it thinking, oh, I'm so lucky, I've never experienced anything, or maybe I just run with big headphones and I've never heard the calls. And then it was in lockdown, I got followed down my road by a man in a scaffolding van, driving really slowly, kind of trying to chat to me. And I think, I mean, that's not okay. And I came back and I was like, what do you do, how do you react, how do you process this, do I call the police, and I called the scaffolding company and I said, I want to let you make you aware that this has happened. And they were kind of like, yeah, he didn't mean it. He was slowing down because there was traffic. And it was instantly like on the man's side. And you know, when you just think, fine, I give up and I just accept that that's part of being a female running. And then that's not okay. And I think in the survey, when asked whether anyone stepped in to help when they saw harassment taking place, a large number of women said no, no one came and helped. And is that your experience too, that you just kind of dealt with it alone?
I had something recently where actually I was running on Wimbledon Common in lockdown, and this is kind of more of a dog than a man, but a dog kind of lunged at me. I didn't sort of actually bite me or anything, but I think I just kind of yelped, you know, as you do. And the male owner just started screaming abuse at me. And literally all I had done was go, ah, you know, and jumped. And he started screaming, horrible words at me, whatever. And I was actually so stunned that I just didn't really do anything except kind of start running again, move away from him. But a woman actually came up, another runner who was behind me had come up, and she was kind of like, she ran with me and said, "You okay? You know, can I run with you for a bit? Let's just kind of get out to the main road together and stuff." So yeah, it was really nice, actually. Really appreciated that.
That's just such a strange one, Kate, isn't it? Like, what was he objecting to about you there? That you...
I mean, I have no idea. Like, my existence, I think. I mean, I don't know whether he was like all there. I honestly have no idea. But it was just like, it was immediately like sexist abuse. It was like, you know, you bitch, all the rest of it, you know. So that was obviously just something in his head. But it was also really interesting what you were saying about, Jane, about running with headphones. And because having just written something for Runner's World about running and music, there's always been a bit of a kind of snobbery thing about running with music. And it does seem to often come from men who are like, oh, you know, you've got to be kind of aware of your surroundings. You've got to be kind of at one with nature and feeling your breath and all the rest of it. And real runners wouldn't use music. And after a while, after this whole thing, I did start thinking, one of the main reasons I listen to music is so that I don't have to hear this stuff that we have to deal with every
day. Yeah, 100%. You know?
Especially like when I do, you know, pre-lockdown, doing a run commute and you'd run past a pub. I don't think I've ever run past a pub and not had people shout, even if it's like run, Forest, run, or like stupid stuff. I'm just like, I don't want to hear it. I want to listen to my podcast or my music. I don't know. But would we say, as a general rule, you feel safe when out running? I'll direct that at you, Chess.
Yeah, but I think it's funny because I think I've subconsciously made a lot of the choices that they tell you to make anyway. So yes, I do feel safe, but I go running at 7 a.m. In like populated, bright, like all of the things that they say, it's happening anyway in subconsciously when I choose to run. But I would say before lockdown, I used to commute run in winter when it was dark, and sometimes I think I was naive, and sometimes I think you just have to live your life. So I don't know. It's kind of a bit of both. But I also feel like I wouldn't run in the dark in lockdown. The streets just don't feel the same. And I've had more interactions with people, and more, especially when it's dark.
I think there are some guys who listen to this and say, well, that they feel they make some changes to their route, maybe, or feel threatened in certain areas. But I guess with female runners, there might be additional considerations, such as like what you're wearing on the run. I don't think blokes have to think about that too much. Is that something that is that kind of, do you think, a daily consideration for female runners? Actually, right, is this outfit going to be something that kind of encourages unwelcome commentary from men?
I definitely feel like that, but I generally don't let it change what I wear. But I know that it's going to happen. Like, if I wear certain things, I just go out knowing that it's more likely to happen, and it probably does. But I love running in shorts so much. It's just so that's just the way it is. So it's like, yeah, if they're especially, you know, if they're tighter or shorter or whatever, it's kind of, yeah, I consider it, but it doesn't stop me because I feel quite indignant. Right,
yeah. But there's also other things that, I mean, obviously men can be attacked to and are, and you know, you could get, anyone could get mugged at night for a, if you're carrying a phone, whatever. But there's a certain kind of like microaggression sort of level stuff that women are just constantly subjected to when running that I don't think men are. And I think it's things like, I mean, I've had men run up to me and start sort of basically mansplaining running to me. You know, and I'm like, this, I mean, this is literally my job. You know, not, I'm fine. You don't need to tell me stuff. And I don't think men get that from other men. I could be wrong, but I don't think so.
No, I think that's really true. Yeah. Yeah. The male coach, the kind of,
I mean, I am like literally, I'm a journalist who writes about running and I am an England athletics coach. I'm fine. I know about running. But the other thing is, I remember last summer in lockdown when we could run with more than one person, I went for a run with two male clubmates and we were running along the Thames, and I was supposed to be doing, it was our long run, but I was supposed to be doing sort of blocks of it at threshold or marathon pace or something. And obviously the paths are a bit busier because people are all out walking and so on. So we kind of obviously went into, whenever we saw people, we went into single file, and we just fell into this sort of pattern where one of my friends, he's always like a bit of a front runner, he went to the front, I was, you know, in the middle, and he was saying it was fascinating afterwards. He really noticed a difference in people's reactions when it was him at the front or whether it was me at the front. And if it was him at the front, people got out of the way, like not as in I'm coming through, get out of the way, but just, you know, were polite and they took their half of the path and we took our half of the path. If it was me, it was like, nah, you know, you can get round us, we'll just walk four abreast or whatever. And I was really struck by that because I hadn't even registered that at the time. And I think if anything, I'm probably very sensitive to this stuff because it really, really pisses me off. So I just found it fascinating that he'd picked up on that.
That is interesting. Kate, because you're a mum too, do you think you feel kind of, not that you feel it more extremely, but do you think you kind of, I don't know, did that make a difference too, that you want this to be different for your daughters when they go out running?
Yes. Yes, totally. Or just the way they live their lives. Yeah. I mean, my, this isn't really running related, I admit, but my eldest is on, she's 12 and she's on Instagram now. She's got a private account, so she's only got people, you know, all the safety stuff, only people she knows in real life and so on. But I check her account sometimes just to, you know, as a good mum should, I think, or a nosy mum, I don't know. And she'd posted on her story, she'd put up one of the kind of many gifts or whatever that's gone round, and it just said, why can women still not safely walk alone at home, as walk home alone at night? And I just thought, she's 12, she should not have to know that is even a thing, you know. So yeah, it does definitely make me more it makes me more angry, actually, because I think you kind of tend to get more angry on behalf of other people, especially if they're your your children, than you do kind of for yourself, you know.
Yeah, I definitely feel like, you know, I've run for the last 5 years in Clapham, and I've always felt very safe here, and suddenly I don't. And I think that is a direct result of, you know, what the tragic events that have happened. And, you know, I won't run in the dark at the moment, and I've never really had to think, you know, and when I say that, I mean, like Chess, I've or like both of us, I've still followed all the rules, I've run in lit places, I've got the Find a Friend app on my phone so that when I'm running, you know, my boyfriend or my parents can, you know, if I say I'm going for a run, they can check and make sure I'm still moving, and if they were worried. But, and I don't think men have ever had to maybe consider that kind of thing, but I don't know. I think for me at the moment, the darkness and being on the common are the dangers and the threats that I'm suddenly really aware of. But is it darkness, or are there other threats that we're kind of, that you're, you know, Kate, you mentioned running on the Thames path, if that's something you wouldn't do alone at the moment, are there kind of dangers and threats that we're all really in the front of our minds right now?
Yeah, I mean, I probably would still run there because, in fact, you know, ironically, busier places feel safer, obviously, like, you know, you as long as people aren't like hating you for breathing too near them or whatever. but like just to say, it's the fact that it doesn't really occur to you that you're living your entire life, you're doing all your run routes are completely mapped on whether or not it's safe, but you never even think about it, you just do it. You're like, well, of course I wouldn't go there when it's dark, of course I wouldn't run. You know, it's all just kind of automatic. And then when you stop and think, hang on a second, what, you know, my mate just went for a run at 9 o'clock because he didn't finish work till then. but he didn't have to go and find somebody else to do it with him, which I would have had to have done to feel, you know, safe. And it's just, yeah, it's just a sort of, it's just the way you operate normally, isn't it? And it shouldn't have to be.
This is the Runner's World podcast.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
And Chess, I think you said that you've noticed it got worse in lockdown. Would you say, you know, would you definitely say you felt it got, do you think it's getting progressively worse, or do you think there is a kind of light, are things getting any better?
I don't know. I just felt it. I just think it's what you were just mentioning about the busier places feel safer. And I think it's just the obvious outcome from there being fewer people out and about in the evening, because why would they be there? There's nowhere to go. Everyone has to be at home. So just the sheer reduction of people milling around that just gives you that underlying safety. And also, I guess it maybe curbs some people's behaviour, where they maybe wouldn't shout if there were other people around, or maybe they wouldn't do things because obvious. I mean, I'm assuming 99% of the people who are shouting at you and catcalling you actually don't mean any harm. So it's kind of so much to do with the social perceptions of that. And so, yeah, I think people are being bolder, maybe, because there's not people around to notice. And you're just a girl. What are you going to do? What am I going to do?
I'm interested in the difference between running and walking with this stuff, because I think my experience is that I would probably run at times and in areas that I wouldn't walk. I think I feel more powerful and safer running. It might be the fact that you're moving quicker, but maybe that's literally just a male experience. Do you think you feel less safe running than you do walking, or the other way around? What would you say, Kate?
I think I'd probably agree, just because it's sort of an exit thing, isn't it? You just think, well, yeah, I can get out of this road quicker because I'm in. But then that it's interesting that I was talking to a friend of mine, and she is she's a runner, and she also, for her day job, she works in security. So she kind of advises individuals, whatever, on how's it, you know, sort of on a big scale. And, you know, she sort of does a lot of things, I guess, because of that. And one of the things she always does is that there's certain areas, and this is kind of globally as well, where certain countries where women are more, you know, attacked and so on, but you always wear trainers because then you can run away. And I do kind of feel that actually being a runner is a really good thing, because you at least can run away, and hopefully run away quite fast if you need to.
Yeah, I definitely have that. And I also kind of don't know if it's legitimate, because how fast can I run? I don't know. But it's like, yeah, it's that feeling that you get when you're running. And also probably just I'm taking in my surroundings a bit less, in a way. It's because, like, you get in the zone and you just feel a bit more. I just think, yeah, you have that kind of strength that comes with running. So I can take it more. Like, if someone was going to shout at me when I was walking, I think I would be more shocked and appalled. but also it would happen less. Like, no one shouts at me when I'm walking, or much less. I mean, maybe every now and then, but they, but I, it's really strange. It's like, I think they, like, if it's say a catcall from a van, they also know that you're not going to be there for very long. So it's kind of like, oh, we'll shout at her because in 10 seconds she'll be round the corner. I don't know. It's an odd one.
Yeah, I kind of agree, I think. I think, I don't know, I think walking at the moment is totally different, but because I've just got a puppy, I'm so aware that I'm a target because people are going to want to come and steal Toby from me, that I'm like, I won't go out in the dark walking or running. I've now become like a hermit as soon as it goes dark.
There's no respite, Jane.
It's like a double threat because I've got a cute puppy and I'm a runner and I'm female. So it's literally like, I'm not leaving the house ever again.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Dog's supposed to help you get out of the house.
I know. He does between, like, what, the hours of 6 and 6, but then we're in for the day. Let's go on to considerations we have to make as female runners. I think we've mentioned most of them: picking well-lit routes, choices of clothing, the time of day to run.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I mean, yes, all of those things, but to... one of the things that would be great kind of to come out of this in the running community is turning it the other way around and saying, what are the considerations that men can do that they can't, that they aren't currently, or that maybe just that they haven't thought about before? Completely, you know, well-meaning things that they do that perhaps they don't realize can be intimidating, or things like, I don't know, if you're running at the sort of roughly the same pace as somebody, she's a woman and she's just a bit ahead of you, and you might just naturally settle into a sort of, well, I'm going to keep, you know, safe distance, you know, social distancing, etc., but I'm just going to sit behind her. Please don't do that. You know, just if you're going to run at the same pace as a woman, she's just going to think you're being like weird. Like, she's going to get nervous. Like, why is this guy sort of sitting on my shoulder, even if he's not that close to you? It can feel like he is. So just cross the road. You know, run on the other side of the road, or put on a little bit of speed and overtake. That's fine, but just don't sit right behind her. You know, it's just sort of little things like that that I think we could, that all men could maybe think about.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think that's an example of, you could have blokes doing that who just aren't conscious of, you know, they don't mean any harm, but actually it's a simple thing just to be a bit more thoughtful and to be like, okay, like, this is very, very easy for me to do it, and it makes a big difference to the female runner. Let's just do it. Yeah, some etiquette, I think, is probably...
Yeah, well, it's like you say, like, obviously, you know, you don't mean any harm. She doesn't know that.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah. And I'm sure there's lots of other little things like that as well that just, I don't know, that everybody can pick up on and sort of examine what they do day to day.
Yeah. And I guess it's the way, I don't think we're ever going to solve in a podcast how we change it, because we shouldn't have to worry about wearing shorts or running in just a sports bra or not running across the common at night, running round it. Do you know what I mean? We shouldn't have to, but we do. And I guess maybe that, you know, if there are male runners listening to this and they think, oh God, I didn't, you know, I have the luxury of just, like your friend Kate, just being able to put my shoes on and go for a run at 9 o'clock and not having to think about, have I got this app on my phone? Have I got this? Have I got that? Have I got my keys close to hand if I needed to do something? Do you know what I mean? You shouldn't, I don't know. I guess maybe it's just making male runners aware that this is part of our planning before we go on a run. Have I got my keys? Have I got my phone? Have I got my gel? And have I planned a route that I'll be safe? And it's not fair, really. I think the last kind of question, I guess, is for me, it definitely has, but have the awful events, like the murder of Sarah, changed the way we feel about running or walking alone? I think I've mentioned, I don't want to run on the common at the moment. I don't want to run in the dark at the moment. Hopefully, as time goes by, I'll feel differently, but right now it all feels very raw. Do we feel the same, or has it kind of, have we always felt like this?
I think I've never been very keen on running at night, and I've started thinking why, because I've always sort of said, oh, I'm just a morning person, you know, I like running in the morning, I like to get it done. But I actually do think a larger part of it than I sort of processed was actually, but it's dark and it's not safe, so I can't. And sort of questioning that. So, you know, I wasn't, I'm lucky that I'm able to run during the day, but it has made me kind of think about that a lot more. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I've definitely considered, it's more that I've considered what my behaviour used to be like. And as I mentioned, like in the pandemic, it's very easy to only run in the daytime. And I keep thinking about how often I used to run through, so I live near Finsbury Park, and to get to work, my commute to work, it's a very big circumnavigation if you avoid the park. And how much I used to run through that park first thing in the morning when it was still dark. And I had mentioned it to a friend that I did that, and she was so shocked that I would do that. And I was like, oh, you know, but it's the morning and it's fine. And I'm only in there for like 2 minutes or whatever. And now I think about that and I'm like, will I do that again? I don't know. I might just go around the park because, yes, it's annoying, but it's not that annoying.
Yeah.
So maybe it has changed my behaviour.
I think, Jess, I really resonated. You put a post up that maybe not everyone will have seen. It of about, obviously, last week felt like a tough week for women. We had International Women's Day, then we had Meghan Markle's being attacked for her. Then we had the tragic murder. And you said that running was a way to help you deal with all of those emotions. Is that
100%?
Yeah,
100%. I've been injured. Well, I'm not injured now, but I was injured for about 4 months. And obviously, anyone who's a runner who's probably listened to this podcast would understand that's very frustrating, especially at a time like this. And I don't really know anyone who runs who doesn't find it helpful for their mental health as well. And I've just been so grateful that in this week of mess, that's been something I've been able to do. And yes, I've done it in the day. And yes, you know, all those things aside, it's invaluable for being able to kind of clear the stress, you know, put Instagram down and go out for 40 minutes. It's just like, yeah, it's really, really helped. So I would never, yeah, I would hope to say that it will never stop me running.
One of the big promises of running is that maybe that it gives you a greater sense of confidence, and maybe you feel safer and more powerful and confident in lots of different environments. Do you think that running has actually, despite all this stuff that goes with it, do you think that running for UK has given you that?
Yes, absolutely, 100%. And, you know, Jen, you were asking about my daughters and stuff. I mean, they're not really massively into running, but I try to encourage them to do it a bit because, it, you know, because of the way it builds your self-confidence. Because, like, you know, it's like when everyone starts running, they think, I can't do this, I can't reach that distance, I can't do this. Oh, hang on, I did. Well, if I can do that, maybe I can do this other thing that's always scared me. Or, you know, and there's something quite sort of, because it's a very physical process, but it kind of calms the mind. The combination of the two, I think, just really kind of makes you think you're capable of tackling other things that are kind of combination of the two, or just the kind of in the mind. Yeah, totally.
What about you, Chess? You say the same thing?
Oh, definitely. What Kate's just saying, like how it transfers to other parts of your life, is absolutely true. And sometimes it's happening without you realizing, and then other times I genuinely call on running experiences when I'm struggling with something else. And like, if I've, you know, sometimes I'm like, I remember that marathon that was especially difficult, or I remember like something that was that hard and you did it. And you can, even if you're transferring it to something that's not fitness related at all, it helps. Like, it does just make me, yeah, I have like a faith in myself that I wouldn't have had without it.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah. That's nice to hear as well.
I think that's probably all we've got time to talk about. I think this is a subject we could all talk about forever. But thank you so much, Kate and Chess, for coming on the Runner's World podcast today.
It's always a pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
This is the Runner's World podcast.
So that brings us to the end of this week's Runner's World podcast. As ever, we'd love to hear from our listeners. What's been your experience of harassment on the run, and what do you think could be done to make the experience better for all runners? Thank you very, very much for listening. Thanks to our guests, of course, Kate Carter and Chess Monato.
Subscribe to Runner's World magazine today to get 3 issues for only £5. Visit hearstmagazines.co.uk/runnersworldpodcast to receive this exclusive listener offer.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.